never stop to wonder when watching my TV why we who do the work are so seldom see.
Now I'm wondering why we're blacked out or portrayed as troublemakers or always in the background when on screen. Work in TV.
Welcome to Working TV. I'm David Chudnovsky. Join us for our special series produced with the Labor Environmental Alliance Society. On today's show, we're going to be talking about something we rely on several or even many times every day, food. What's in it? Where does it come from? And how do we know if it's safe? But first, let's find out what's in the products all of us use around the home. Take us through the guide and show us a little bit about what it does.
Well, a lot of what the guide is about, it gives background on cancer and the high rates of cancer. Cancer is now the second leading cause of death in children in Canada, and that's just not acceptable. And there's a very direct relationship coming out between exposure to pesticides and cancer in children. And we think that it's really important, for instance, to identify pesticides that have known human carcinogens in them, as well as reproductive toxins. So we do that in the guide. And what's really good about it is that we name names. We identify what the active ingredient is, what the chemical is, and then according to some very good science that we use, we say whether or not it's a carcinogen or a reproductive toxin or an endocrine disruptor, and then we name products that it's actually found in. And the way that we did this research was by going to the manufacturers of these products and actually getting the sheets that tell what chemicals are in them. So it's not something we made up. It's very much based on the data sheets from the manufacturers, and then we match those chemicals with our science data banks. And then we provide some alternatives, because we think it's really important that people have a right to know what they're exposed to and then have some alternatives that they can choose to use instead.
So what do we say to people who want to have a nice garden? What's the alternative for them?
There's lots of other things to do. I mean, there's ways of dealing with so-called pests, and there's all kinds of other products that can be used that don't contain reproductive toxins or carcinogens. What we found, for instance, in the section on cleaning products is that, you know, you just need to know what it is that you're being exposed to, and then we provide again, good charts and lists that show products that don't contain things like methylene chloride, which is a known human carcinogen, or trisodium nitrile triacetate, which is found in many laundry soaps. You can choose to buy one that doesn't have that. So it's not hard. It's just an attitude and knowledge.
And now back to food. Let's find out what it means to relocalize our food systems and much more with LEAS directors Herb Barbalet, Andrea Reimer, Larry Stoffman, and Sean Griffin.
If there's something that we all do every day as Canadians, it's to sit down at a meal and eat some food. And increasingly, we're seeing in the news a lot of concern about what we might be eating in the way of our food, what's coming with our produce in the way of pesticide residues, what's coming in different contaminants that might be in that food. That's causing a lot of concern for Canadians and indeed for many people across the continent. We're here today with a number of people who are experts in that field in various aspects of it, and we're going to be talking to you about food, about some of the contaminants that affect food, and some of the issues that we as consumers can do to take care of that. With me here is Larry Stoffman, who's a director of the Labor Environmental Alliance Society. He's also a occupational health and safety director for the United Food and Commercial Workers, which has retail certifications in the retail food industry. He's also a Canadian Labor Congress Occupational Health and Safety and Environment Committee and works as a negotiator for the International Chemical Classification Systems. On my right here is Herb Barbalet, who is a food policy consultant. He's a founder of Farm Folk, City Folk, which worked for and continues to work in issues to do with food. And he was also instrumental in establishing a food policy for the city of Vancouver. And on the far right there is Andrea Reimer, who's a school trustee with the Vancouver School Board and the executive director of Western Canada Wilderness Committee, a leading environmental organization. Our food policy in Canada has been something that has been very much in the uppermost of the news in recent times, in part because our food supply has become very, very important to us as Canadians, because we increasingly depend on export sources for our food, but also because we're hearing a lot of stories in the news about possible contamination of our food, whether it's BSE, whether it's residue from pesticides, whether it's PCBs from farmed salmon, or a whole number of other things. And food's very important also because we're being told to prevent cancer, to help our increase our health, that we should eat lots of fruit and vegetables, that we should try and look for different sources of food. So it's very important, I think, to all of us that we have a good food supply, that we have a pure food supply, that it be something that we can all count on. And that's something that I think all of us worry a bit about. And one of the reasons we worry is, for example, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, which recently did a report on pesticide residues, found that there were a lot more pesticide residues occurring in our fruit and vegetables that we're getting, in part because the trade policy that we have with other countries has resulted in many more pesticides being used than had been used in the past. And in fact, what we're doing is we're harmonizing our agricultural policies here with those in the United States, and we're getting many more pesticides in the bargain. They also have told us that the pesticide residues in many of those foods are rising, and in some cases we're finding that many of them are well over the safe limit. Now, as a warning here, that does result in the Canadian Food Inspection Agency taking responsibility to pull that food off the market and ensuring that it's safe before it's sold. But it certainly does raise some concern about what it is that's in our food. And one of the people that has done a lot of work in this field is Herb Barbalat, and I'll just ask you, Herb, how do we deal with some of these issues to do with food contamination? How do we get around dealing with some of the problems that we have with?
Well, basically, the policy of the federal government and most provincial governments is multifold. It buys totally into the globalization, into corporate concentration, meaning larger farms, fewer farms, larger producers, and fewer producers all throughout the food chain. It believes in the idea of free trade, so-called, and in the magic bullets of high tech. So one of the things you didn't mention is biotechnology and the fact that more and more of our foods have been genetically modified, which is another form of adulteration of the food. What the alternative to that, or in case those policies just don't work out, we should have a plan B, and we don't. The plan B should be a just and sustainable food system and sustainable agriculture, and starting with organic agriculture. The governments basically put virtually all of their support and all of the revenues into their major thrusts, into the large picture, into the export markets. Sustainable agriculture would work towards relocalizing the food system, having more producers closer to the end users of the products. And when you have smaller local systems, because the people live on the land, because their primary involvement in the food production, they tend to be environmentally much more sustainable, environmentally much more concerned. So I think that we need to push for the relocalization of the food system and moving towards a more healthy and sustained system.
So are there steps being taken in that direction? Do we have more organic food available now to us that is safer to eat and more healthy?
Right. The organic industry has been growing about 20% a year. It started off as very small. The conventional producers are receiving almost all of the subsidies and almost all of the support, and but there is now beginning small-scale support for organics. The industry itself and the producers are better and better organized. At the retail level, there are more stores and more operations that are selling or delivering organic product. And so the consumers are aware of it, growing more and more aware of it, and therefore they're demanding it, and therefore there's more production.
Are there things also that we can do as individual consumers? Are there, for example, are there certain products that would be more likely to be contaminated with pesticide residues as opposed to others? Are there
This is controversial. There are, if you look on the website and look under that, you'll find at least three different lists that list the most contaminated fruit and vegetables and the least, and the lists don't agree with one another.
No, I see.
So it has a lot to do with where it's being produced. In certain climates, they'll be using particular pesticides or more herbicides or more fungicides than in other places. So it's best to know your local market, and that's another reason for the relocalizing of the food system. Where there is some agreement is that there are a few vegetables like and fruits like peaches, strawberries that tend to have more pesticides than some of the others. Personally, I'm be more concerned with root vegetables because they sit in the ground, and if the ground is saturated, there's more of a chance that they'll be in contact with the pesticides. The Canadian Federal Food Inspection Agency says that our food is the safest in the world, and arguably I think that may be true, but there are enormous gaps and in the safety net, and the Canadian government has been cutting back on inspectors and on inspection services and moving towards a much more reliance on industry self-regulating. And we can talk about that later.
Well, I noticed, for example, that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency's, the commissioner actually for the environment that reviews the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, noted that there are actually 190 different pesticides for which there is no practical detection method, and that increasingly we're seeing a lot more pesticides being used that there is no way of testing for. So it really begs the question, is there really an alternative here other than to eat organic food and develop organic food as the best way to go?
Actually, I have less concern about each of the individual pesticides because they do have to pass certain standards and they are tested. What there is absolutely no testing for and very little knowledge of is the interactions between those the pesticides. Some plants will have dozens of different pesticides on them. And also what interactions those pesticides will have with other systems. And we know so little about how things actually work inside the human body. It is a concern. So the answer is to deal with foods that come from safe, clean environments that are not using these chemicals. That being said, organics also uses natural pesticides and herbicides and fungicides, and if they're misused, they too can be a problem. So they tend not to be misused. There's good practices that are in place. What we need is to go beyond, is to go towards organics, but even go beyond organics into systems that are closer to natural. Organics of late has been moving more towards suggesting that nature should mimic organics rather than the original idea of organics is that organic production imitates nature as much as possible, and nature provides balances.